Let's pray together. Lord, we are so absolutely thankful that you're willing to come to town. And you don't leave, and you'll stay there, and you don't stop, and you always bring hope. And so, God, I just pray that we find that today as we look at what you are doing. In the name of Jesus, amen. And you may be seated. If you'll go with me to Luke chapter 19, we're celebrating that Jesus will come into the city. Jesus will come into the chaos. How many of y'all are glad to know that Jesus doesn't leave town when things get rough? Huh? Jesus doesn't leave town when things get rough. Now, I'm going to point out something. As I got ready to prepare this sermon, it amazed me as I started thinking about the American church. And I thought about those in America. And I think there's those who follow Jesus Christ, and then there's the American church. I think it's a whole different animal. And so I've begun to define the American church. It's interesting to me that in the American church, when the city got difficult, we left. We left. In fact, I'm very indebted to my Catholic brothers and sisters, because in the inner cities of America, there would have been no Jesus witness whatsoever if it had been left up to evangelical Protestants, because they hit the suburbs as soon as it got difficult. They said, "We're out of here. There's too many people that aren't like us, so we're leaving to form little communities that are just like us." And then we have Jesus, who comes into the city where nobody's like him. Hello? And he comes into the chaos no matter what. And I want to start there today, because we're going to begin to follow Jesus this week. How many of y'all understand that following Jesus can be a really weird thing? It's not as simple as we make it out to be. If you're a visitor here today, a guest here today, you're checking it out here today, what you're going to hear at Hillview Heights Church is authentic faith. The real deal. We kind of want to make church this little Disney World experience where if you follow Jesus, everything's going to be okay in your life and nothing ever bad's ever going to happen. Well, now that's not the Bible. And people that tell me if you follow Jesus and there's never going to be any difficulty, here's what they've just told me: I've never read the Bible. Life has difficulty, amen? And sometimes you just hear what you, you got to listen to what you don't want to hear. And you got to do things that you don't understand. And Jesus was kind of that way. Jesus called his disciples to do crazy things. Now I got to honor one of my heroes in the Bible. Many of you have called him this if you grew up in the church. How many of you all called one of the disciples Doubting Thomas? I never called him Doubting Thomas. I call him the intellectual disciple. And I think people that think are also included in the Bible. You know, for a long time in my life, the faith was presented to me: if you were totally irrational, then you could be a Christian. The more I studied the Scripture, very rational people followed Jesus Christ. People that contributed, people that weren't just blind in their faith, but people that knew what was going on and said, "This is the way, the truth, and the life." Thomas was one of those. If you recall in the 11th chapter of Gospel of John, it was Thomas who told Jesus, "Listen, if you go back into Judea, if you head back toward Jerusalem, we're dead." See, Thomas was smart. He politically knew what was going on if Jesus headed back toward the city. He's a dead man. He said, "Jesus, you have done stirred it up enough. It is too stirred. They're going to kill you." And guess what Thomas did? He said, "But I'll go if that's where you want to go." You know what I call that? Faith. Now there's a faith. I know this is not going to be good, and I'm going to go anyway. Now I'm going to come after this Easter in a big way, so for all of you that need your injection of feel-good religion, you're going to be really aggravated with me. Jesus did not come to make us feel good. That is a huge lie that has been handed to the American church, that Americans would buy hook, line, and sinker, because we're a culture that says, "I want to feel good for the moment." Jesus did not die on the cross so human beings could feel good. He's not that cheap. Cocaine will make you feel good.
It's not a good idea, though. Right? I need amen on that, please. Amen. All right. There are a lot of things that will make you temporarily feel good, but leave you eternally out of luck. Jesus came to bring a full new life to us, and it doesn't always feel good. Amen? Some of you ladies are pregnant. Guess what? That doesn't feel good. I can look on y'all's faces, and y'all are letting me know, this don't feel real good. You know, when it's 95 degrees, and you've kind of expanded your territory, and you don't walk anymore, you kind of just move around. You know, I never heard Elizabeth, as she was growing with the beauty of our children, going, I really enjoy this. The Lord is blessing me with such size. I never heard that. But I saw her rejoice when the life came in. Does that make sense? When there was new life. Now, Jesus is bringing life in. And I want to start here. Jesus will come to the city. That's the first good news from God. Jesus comes on in no matter how we act. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. God came to Bethlehem and God came to Jerusalem even when things were hot. And it's chaotic and it's dangerous and it's not safe for God. Some will praise Him, but others are plotting to kill Him. Does that sound like life? I don't know about you all, but that's my life. I have some that go, man, this is a great guy, and I have others, when will he go away? How many of you all have that response in your life? In fact, I was with a group of pastors, and they asked me, they said, Pastor Steve, how do you take people not liking you? I said, why would you ask such a question? And they said, there's a lot of people that don't like you. I said, you're right. I said, what kind of people? They said, people that are really religious. I said, I don't want them to like me. I said, the day they like me, I've left the New Testament. I said, you will always be in good shape following Jesus when sinners love you and church people can't stand you. They couldn't stand Jesus because they couldn't control Him. Jesus wouldn't fit their religious formula. Jesus wouldn't do it their way. Jesus was going to be God no matter what they said. Jesus was going to love whoever He wanted to love no matter what they said. Jesus was going to go to the city no matter what. And He comes in and He asks people to do strange things. Now, if you're going to go through Holy Week, there are going to be some strange things. Jesus sometimes says some things that don't make sense. And He even does it here at Holy Week. Look at here. As He approached Bethpage at Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, underline that in your Bible because that's going to be crucial to Holy Week. Jesus is going to pass by the Mount of Olives, but He's going to end up in the Mount of Olives to make a decision that changes everything for all human history. He's passing by into the city. He sends two of His disciples saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Tell them the Lord needs it. Now, I don't know about you all, but if you're going to go untie somebody's colt that's never been ridden, I'm not sure that the Lord needs it's going to get away with that deal, yeah? What's Jesus asking the disciples to do? Go steal a colt here? No, when you created the colt, it's yours anyway. But Jesus, I mean, that's kind of risky. What if the Lord said to you today, go to another church parking lot, find a Cadillac with under 3,000 miles on it, and go start it up and bring it here. Oh, and as you're driving out, if they ask you, just wave out the window and say, the Lord has need of it. Now, please, none of you go do that, and if the sheriff hears that today, he will arrest you anyway, okay? You're not Jesus. But now here's what I'm telling you. When Jesus speaks a command into your life, no matter what the command is, it will come through. Let me run that by you one more time. When Jesus says it, it will be whether it makes human sense or not. Now here's what you have to be careful of. Dick, Jesus has got to say it, right? Now watch here. Some of y'all listen to what Jesus' disciples say, and they don't always say the right thing. I hear this all the time. Well, Dr. So-and-so said. Who cares? Well, Steve Ayers said. Well, now that'll get you a quick trip to hell. Don't ever use that one when you stand before the Lord. Well, Ayers said, he'll look at y'all and say, could y'all not figure out your pastor was not one of the sharpest I had called in America? When he was on, it's when he was telling you what I said. So, and I love God because God wrote a Bible for people like me. He wrote a Bible and he even put what he said in red letters because he knew he was going to create Kentuckians. And he said, now I'm going to put this in red so y'all can get exactly what I'm saying. How many of y'all are glad to know God even broke the New Testament down for Southerners? Because up north they could go, and he said, and northern people would go, oh, that's Jesus speaking. Down south we need to be able to say, them red letters right there, now that's what he said. Now I want you to see what he said. He said, go untie this colt that had never been ridden. Now why? It's symbolic. Jesus is coming in peace. Jesus is coming as a king. And Jesus is fulfilling the first covenant. He said he would come riding on a donkey. A beast of burden. He said he's going to come riding on that. He's going to be clean. He's going to be real. And guess what happened? Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he told them. How many of y'all realize if you'll do what Jesus said, you'll find it just as he told you? See, here's what I'm counting on that. Anybody counting on that? I'm counting on that. I am. Anybody else in here counting on that? Let me ask you all a question. If God puts a big giant plasma high definition screen up in heaven and shows your life, I'm just hoping he don't show it in front of everybody. You know what I mean? I just hope it's me and him. Hope Elizabeth ain't there either. And I hope it's just me and him in high definition. You know what? I'm trusting Jesus because guess what? When they put my life up on a screen, this is what I hope they see. There's going to be a big old cross and there's going to be an old empty tomb and there's going to be a total red background and that's the story of my life. Amen. Whatever he did was under the cross and the resurrection. That's what I hope my screen reads. Now, without relationship with Jesus Christ in your life, you're on your own. See, I'm taking note of what Jesus said. Jesus said, if I ask him into my life, he's going to forgive me of my sins. When I stand before God in heaven, guess what I'm going to say? If he asked me this question, what if God asked you this question? Why should I allow you in heaven? What are you going to tell him? I know what some of you are going to tell him. I know what you're going to tell him right now. Well, I didn't smoke. And Jesus is going to say, well, you got good lungs. But now they don't work anymore, so what are you going to do? And some of y'all are going to get real prideful and you're going to say, Lord Jesus, I never had a drop of alcohol. He might even say, you needed a couple. I watched you. See, we get prideful over the things we do. That's not what's going to get you into heaven. This will get you into heaven. Jesus, I am going to take you at your word. You said, if I ask you to forgive me of my sin, if I believe you died on the cross, if I believe you were the Son of God, I believe you said you were the only way into heaven, and I put my life in you. That's why I can go in there. You know what I think you're going to hear? Come on in, good and faithful servant. Now, I want you to just see, as Jesus starts the Holy Week out, if you will do what he said do, it will always be. Amen. Did I tell y'all Jesus will come into the city? Can I break it down for you today? When we want to split, God says, I'm coming in. See, we leave difficult things. How many of y'all leave it when it's difficult? Lord have mercy. I've never heard such communication from God as I have in my lifetime of ministry in the American church. It amazes me. When I read the Bible, everybody that gets a calling in the Bible has to finish what they start. But in the American church, God calls everybody to something else when whatever he called them to originally got difficult. Now, do y'all think that's God, or do you think that's just a bunch of people trying to cop out in the name of Jesus? I'd hear people all the time, especially in our church when it started out 17 years ago, they'd get in the nursery, God would call them to preschool, and then God would call them out of preschool. And I was like, what, did God change his mind? And what it was, they saw a diaper and lost their calling. A lot of preachers, they lose their calling as soon as the church doesn't love them anymore. Lord have mercy, if I had to depend on that, I'd be on Prozac. You got to decide what you're going to get committed to. I'm going to get committed to a Jesus that says, you go on, tie the coat, it'll be there, do as I tell you. As soon as they arrived, it was as he said. Embrace that. Here's the great hope of Holy Week. It's as he says. He says, you and I are worthy to be saved. How many of y'all say, thank goodness? Because guess what? If Jesus had said this, some of you I'm going to save, you'd be in trouble. Now, there's some preachers. They think they've got it figured out, but they've just read a bunch of books, and they're scared to death. And by the way, I watch preachers that talk big. And I don't trust preachers that run out of the city. I don't trust preachers that are always on the run. You notice that? This is what preachers do. Oh, the big bad wolf's going to get us, going to get us. And they go over here and get all these little holy huddles formed. They're kind of like the three little pigs. And they build all their Christian stuff to keep... Jesus says, come on, big bad wolf. I'm coming to your house today. And you can huff, and you can puff, and you can blow, and you can cuss, and you can holler, and you can chop, you mess up the internet, and you mess up the airwaves, and you mess up the people. But let me tell you, big bad wolf, I'm coming to your house today. And whether they praise me or whether they don't praise me, I'm coming to your house today because I am the King of Kings. I am the first and the last and the middle and the always. Now that's a God that'll work. I just want to tell y'all, he'll view. I'm thankful because y'all ain't scared of the big bad wolf. Knock the hell out of him. You have permission from Jesus. Literally. Now for some of you Pharisees, I'm not cussing. I'm being literal. You'll know when I cuss. I'm very clear about it. I've done that too. I'm not going to lie to you. How many of y'all have ever cussed? How many of y'all have cussed and liked it? All right, I just check it. Let's be honest. Well, I got some people freaking out now. They're going, oh my gosh. Why can't we be honest at church? Jesus was honest, man. Honest. Guess what he said? I'm coming on in town. They found it just as it was. Now, here's what I want you to know. Dale Brown, I'm glad to know that God will come into public schools, aren't you? You know what somebody told me the other day? I don't need to bring this up. I shouldn't bring it up in a sermon, but I bring a lot of things up I shouldn't. Somebody told me the other day that all of our problems were, these are some serious Pharisees. They looked at me. I'll tell you one thing, Dr. Harris. We took God out of school. I've had enough. I didn't cuss. I thought it, but I didn't say it. And I said, I'm going to tell y'all something. Y'all need to go read the Bible and get some theology. There's not a Congress, there's not a president, there's not a human being big enough to keep God out of anywhere. And you need to grow up and get a God. And you need to quit listening to a bunch of politicians that use God to get a bunch of Christians that have half a brain to be elected. Because the same politicians don't care about poor people. Jesus did. Here's where we get hoodooed. They throw out some moral code and every one of us drop to our knees and go, well, I tell you what, the brother don't believe in abortion. Well, really, why do we still got it? See, wake up. When Jesus comes to town, you better put your eyes on who? Not family values, Jesus. Not the American way, the Jesus way. Not what you think, but what he said. Go untie the coat. Question, how many of y'all need to untie some things Jesus needs of this week? I'm just checking. Good, three of you got your hand up. None of the rest of y'all got some things need to be untied? Holy Week's about untying stuff. Colts that have never been ridden. How many of y'all got some things that you've never let Jesus have? Never been ridden. I mean, you just got a few things over here in your life. You say, I'm going to tie these up by the post. These are mine. Now, Lord, you can have my life. Just don't have my coat. These guys were pretty faithful, man. There's some faithful guys. Because guess what? Somebody stealing my coat, I am commencing to a beating on somebody. Huh? True? Gabe, I don't know about you, but somebody rolling out with my car, And they say, the Lord has need of it. I said, well, meet the Lord. Is anybody else got a problem with this? But apparently, watch this. Apparently, when you are obedient in faith, even those that don't understand get truth. When you're obedient in faith, even those that don't understand, understand truth. Look what happens here. Because here's what he tells them. Its owners ask them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. And the owner said, take it. Now, don't go try that today. I see you, some of y'all right now over at Martin, Oldsmobile and Cadillac. We don't have Oldsmobiles anymore, do we? Gosh, I'm ancient. The car dealer over there. Don't be knocking on the car saying the Lord had need of it. Unless he tells you what. And where are you going to bring it?
To him.
Oh. See, that's our problem. We go untie stuff to bring it to who? Us. Thieves. The disciples were bringing it to Jesus. Now, I want you to notice this. What things do you need to untie and bring to Jesus this week? Just note. Did I tell you Jesus would come into the city? Did I tell you that today? Let me tell you something else he'll do. He'll stay there. One of the greatest things we lack in this world today is stay there. Stay. 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 Elizabeth could testify right now, Lord have mercy. If we quit being married every time we wanted to quit being married, we'd be divorced 100 times. She'd just look at me, I don't like you right now, but I'm staying in the morning. I'll be better in the morning. Stay! Jesus doesn't run. He stays no matter what they say. Write that down. Jesus will stay no matter what they say. I'm going to help some of you young folks. Listen, I love all you young folks. I love all you young folks. Quit listening to the crowd. The crowd is fickle. It's always fickle. The crowd is fickle. The fans in the stand, most of them never played. Remember when Blake was playing football his sophomore year, he was taking great abuse from the... And he started hearing the crowd a little bit. He got in a truck one night. He said, Daddy, how do you do what you do? I said, I don't listen to them. I told him, I said, you don't listen to them either. I said, I saw 3 big old fat boys yelling, and they ain't never played quarterback, nor could they, forever in their lives. I said, they can't even run a sprint. I said, here's what you need to do. You always need to know who's talking to you, son. Now, if it's Jesus, you better listen. And everything else is an opinion. Everything else is an opinion. Girls, don't let anybody set your standard but Jesus. And guess what he says? Be a holy woman and wait till he gives you a holy man. See, don't be listening to 17 magazine. Or Brittany. Pray for Brittany. Don't dress like Brittany. Pray for Brittany. By the way, where'd her abs go? Thank God that shut down the midriff. Look, we peel off people. And look, what if Jesus, I can tell you right here, I know Jesus was not a Baptist preacher. Because he didn't get captured by the crowd. He's always going to be the Christ. How many of y'all get caught up in the crowd? How many of y'all even come to church and go, well, I don't know if I can go back there. I saw so-and-so there and I don't like them. Lord have mercy, use some common sense. You go to a church this size, you ought to not like some people. You are not being human if you don't like some people in a church this size. And that's okay. I got people I don't like. I don't like religious people. And I like to tell them I don't like them. And that's not what Jesus did. Well, no. When you're calling somebody a brood of vipers, that's pretty good. What do y'all think about the Son of God, the one that was crucified and resurrected? He looked at a bunch of Pharisees and said, y'all are a brood of vipers. How's that for PC? Political correctness. She said, y'all a bunch of brood of vipers. Now, I don't know if he said y'all. But if he'd been from Birmingham, he'd have said y'all. Y'all a brood of vipers, bunch of snakes, bunch of water moccasins. He was serious. Now look what happens. Jesus starts coming in town and everybody gets happy. Look what they said. I don't know how many Bibles I'm going to use in this sermon, honey. Look here. Jesus, he gets all happy and he says, look.
They replied, the Lord needs it. And then they brought Jesus. He gets on a donkey and they start taking their cloaks and they put it in front of Jesus. And as they went along, the people spread their cloaks on the road. This is a sign that a king's coming. Now, did I tell you Jesus will come on into town and he'll stay there? Now, and here's the third thing. You ready? And he wins no matter what they say. Now, they get happy on the front end. How many of y'all have ever gotten caught up when other people get happy? How many of y'all have even just been yelling about something good and you didn't like it? It's just everybody else was yelling is good. You thought you'd join in. Any of y'all ever done that? How many of y'all have even cheered for a team that you didn't like, but they were cheering so good you thought you'd cheer with them? Then there's teams you should never cheer for, like Ohio State. No matter what, do not cheer for them. See what I'm saying? I tell you, y'all been praying for Jamie. Xavier, the Catholics about got him, Xavier. I called Jamie. They were down by 20 points. I said, Jamie, he said, I was expecting a call. I said, I just want to love on you a minute, brother. I said, they're down by 20 points. I said, if they win, don't call me back. Guess what? They won. Now they're playing in a national championship, but Jamie ain't said nothing. He's gone silent. Because during football season, he told us how Ohio State was going to beat Florida. We made Jamie sit through that whole game. We made him act like Jesus. He entered in and he stayed there. Because we were going to show him the SEC was dominant. Thus saith the Lord. That's what that stands for. Spirit, excellence, commitment to Christ, SEC. That's what it says. South, look at here. It may be Southeastern Conference. I don't know. I better tell you the truth. Well, anyway, they get to praising, and people get, you know, guess what? Everybody gets caught up in the praise but Jesus. Everybody gets caught up in the praise but Jesus. You know why? Because he knew what he'd come for. Now, on this Holy Week, I don't want you to miss it, okay? Here's what I'm trying to get you to understand. Don't trade in temporary moments for eternal life. Jesus walking in the city to bring him to life. Everybody else just want to feel good for a moment. Oh, here comes the king. Hosanna, Hosanna. But note, the same people that laid their cloaks in front of the coat were the same people that picked their cloaks up and said, crucify him. How many of y'all remember, you have to be a little bit older if you remember this show. Some of you younger folks may see it on Nick at Night or something rerun. Fame. Anybody remember the TV show Fame? Came on Saturdays, 6 o'clock. Fame! And had that little song, Fame, I want to live forever. You know, kind of like, Maniac, Maniac. You remember that? Yeah. Kind of that era of time, you know. Back then when a woman could wear a sweatshirt and things would happen, you know. I mean, back in that era of time. This is how much better women were in my day. They could wear their clothes and people were still bothered. Now that's doing something. Today, they've taken them all off. Put your clothes back on. Praise who? Jesus. That's where the action is. Jesus. Well, guess what? They said, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. But then guess what the Pharisees did? The Pharisees always want to stop the praise. The Pharisees always want to stop the praise. Now, this is real life. What do you think the first battle at Hillview was? We've had many since. It's hard for me to remember the first one. We went from singing hymns and we started, praise started breaking out in the church. And there were some Baptists that even went like this. That's Baptist hand raising. Have you noticed that? You always tell Baptists when they go charismatic. Pentecostals, they'll be maniac, Pentecostals. But Baptists will be like, yo. And if you came from a real sophisticated Baptist church, when you lift your hands, you'll go like this. He's praising him. But guess what? Now, some of the Pharisees showed up. Three things I want you to know today. Jesus will enter the city, Jesus stays in the city, and Jesus wins in the city. Do the same. Don't back off. Know that what he said will come true. That's what happens right here. But some of the Pharisees, they arrive in the crowd and they say to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples.
Why is it when the church starts making noise, everybody wants us to be quiet? Not that in America we have a problem with a loud church. In fact, the problem with America is we have a silent church, a private church, a church full of individuals experiencing their relationship with Jesus Christ in a very personal way, so it won't get on anybody else. It looks like to me that when Jesus came into the city, he made some noise. Holy Week is noisy. Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes. He's the King. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The Pharisees said, Jesus, tell your disciples to not praise you. Why is there always somebody that wants to shut the party down? Y'all ever gone to a party with a group of friends and you always got somebody there, everybody's having a good time, you always got one in the bunch that wants to do what? They'll go like this. How are you doing? I'm fine. I'm fine. I see girls do this all the time. They'll have one girl, you know, she ain't got a date. There's a reason she ain't got a date. It had nothing to do with her looks. It's her attitude. She gets all of her other girlfriends. Now, they got a date. They got a date. And then there'd be that one girl, I'm all right. Da-da. And she'd start all that mopey stuff and all of her depression stuff. And then all of a sudden, your date's over there trying to heal her. And I'm like, heal her on Monday. This is Saturday. Because you know what I know? If you don't pay attention to that, it either gets well. It'll get well. There's only one reason we walk around with so little praise in our lives is because we're trying to heal each other instead of praising the one that can. There's always some guy in the crowd, Pharisees. Attend to tell your disciples to quit praying. Always some, you know, you wouldn't believe this. There are people in our own city here. They believe we have too much fun at church. People say, I'm not a real preacher. You know what I say? Thank goodness. It's where you don't act right. I said, I've never acted right. Come April, if I make it the end of the month, I've lived 43 years and never acted right, one of them. What is acting right? I don't want to act right. I want to be faithful. If you're going to be faithful, sometimes you get an untie coat that's not yours and you bring it to Jesus. You lay your cloak in front of him. But you know what Jesus said? They sense a moment's coming that's going to be unexplainable. And Jesus told those Pharisees, he said, let me tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the rocks, the stones will cry out. So I'm going to ask you to do something this week. I'm done. Don't keep quiet, will you? I'm serious. We got a Holy Week celebration here. We have 45 minutes every evening this week of clippets that help you reflect, okay? I challenge you to go through them. I'm very aware that spring break's next week. I understand that. But guess what? This is a bigger week than spring break. Here's all we're going to do is spring break. We're going to go somewhere where it's warm and get sunburned. That's it. We will come back and lose that tan. This week, if you really understand Jesus, everything changes forever. So see how much more intense that is? So guess what? Monday night, we're going to praise him here. Be here. Praise him. I mean, we're going to kick it up. We're going to get loud. You okay with that? We're going to throw our cloaks on the ground. Yeah. We're going to praise him. On Tuesday night, we're going to taste the wine and the bread and be reminded of that Last Supper. On Wednesday night, we're going to have a foot washing. That's usually not a full crowd. Ladies, I'm telling you right now, and I'm helping a lot of you ladies in the beauty business. Hillview always blesses the beauty parlors when we have a foot washing because y'all got to go. Listen, you do not have to have cute feet for Jesus to wash your feet. I guarantee you Jesus had some unfiled toenails. And guess what old Peter got down? Jesus got there on Peter's feet and he washed them. He said, now, go my way. And on Thursday night, we're going to talk about how lonely that garden is, and Jesus went anyway. And on Friday night, we're going to look at, he died for me. And Saturday, it's going to get real quiet. And Sunday morning, it's going to burst forth with new life, and nobody's ever going to be able to stop that. So go through the week, okay? Go through the week. How many of y'all realize Jesus came to town? How many of y'all realize he stayed? And by the way, he won. He won. So do you. You win. Amen? You win in Christ. And you know why you win? Because love wins. And I want y'all to pray for Easter Sunday morning. I'm going to preach a sermon that I've never preached on Easter. And I want to tell people about an excellent way. And I want to tell people about the only way to live. And that's in the grace of Jesus. And today, you know what? There's some of you that are not connected to Jesus yet. I can't think of something more beautiful than on Easter Sunday morning, those baptismal waters are coming off your head. And they're coming off your shoulders. And you're giving testimony, Jesus, you are my God. My sins are forgiven. My life's been changed and I'm headed in a different direction. You know what? I think Jesus, he'd be looking down in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Jesus be looking in Bowling Green, Kentucky and he'll go, you know what? I saw this day from the cross. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? How many of y'all realize that Jesus saw you from the cross? Wow! What do you think, Charles? Man, I mean, Jesus is looking off the cross and he sees a cool motorcycle riding dude some 2,000 years away from him, but right next to him. Well, only a Jesus can do that. Yeah? And he knew you were going to have many women around you your whole life and he saved you so you could survive. What do you think?
Amen.
It's a blessing. It is a blessing. Gave you a great family of daughters. What do you guys think back here? Isn't it amazing? Don't get scared. I ain't gonna bother you. It's amazing what God's done. Amen? Steve, what do you think? God can go all the way to Corbin, Kentucky. Nobody goes there. But Jesus will. Amen? And he'll go to Sanasquatch, Africa and find them. So today, if you don't know Jesus, he wants to know you. He wants to come into your city. He wants to stay there and he wants to teach you how to win. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Same's good today. How many of y'all need to untie some stuff? Lord, I don't know what you want with this, but here it is. Well, I've been needing it. What are you going to do with it? I'm going to ride it. Why are you going to do that? Because you need to quit riding it. You need to follow me. Oh. Huh? Wow. Maybe you just need to come and praise him today. Amen. Let's have a little church. What do you think? Y'all been beautiful today. Look at the person next to you and just say, you've been beautiful today. Come on, just, you've been beautiful today. Come on, try it. You've been beautiful today. Some of you macho guys need to use that word. You've been beautiful today. You've been beautiful today. All right, now I want you to think about that. Some of you need to ask Christ in your life today. Some of you need to come and get baptized. You need to quit wrestling with that. I want every one of you that follow Jesus to be baptized. Have I been pretty serious about that? I want you to be water cured. More than that, I want you to be fire cured by the Holy Spirit. So you know if you need to do that. Untie those things this week. Man, I got a ton of things I need to untie. Got a lot of things I need to nail that cross on Friday night. But I got some good news. I don't have as many as I did 15 years ago. Used to, when we'd have one of them nail your sins on the cross, Lord, I'd wallpaper two of those crosses. Now I got one pack of index cards. Used to have 10. So if you just keep going, Dick, if you'll just stay there, it'll get better. We're going to heaven together, folks. We're going to heaven together. Amen. And don't you forget that as we have church. Jack, me and you and Sue, we're going to have us a big barbecue up there in heaven. Because Jack, me and you've read the Bible and we know there ain't no chickens in heaven. Remember that? God never killed a fatted chicken. That's all over with when we get to heaven. Filet mignon, steak, ribeye cut right. No heart attacks. You can clog your arteries in heaven to the glory of God and they'll never mess up. Maybe we'll all be Texans then. I don't know, Jack. What'll happen, you know? God's going to do something great. Listen, let's praise him today by taking him serious at the altar, okay? Let's stand together. Pray with me one more time, church. Lord, whoever it is that needs to know you right now, I ask that your Spirit draw them to you. Lord, I thank you that I see that a little boy has met Jesus this morning, already come to be baptized. May we follow the example of a little boy, a little girl. If it's you today, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins. If you're there in that beautiful balcony where you can see what's going on now, you got steps to come right down here to the altar, and you even get here faster now from the balcony than you do from the back. Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, I do believe in you, and now I'm going to be obedient to you and be baptized. Lord Jesus, I'm going to come and untie some things in my life that just aren't right. Whatever it is today, just let God have it. Amen? Bottom line, Jesus Christ died because he loved the Father so much, and he knew if he loved his Father so much that his Father would bless everything he's created. And that's you and I. So come now and thank him, praise him, untie, receive, be baptized. Be touched by the Holy Spirit. This altar is open, and as you come forward, I just pray this morning that a sense of God's presence would just be with you all week. He's holy every week. But this is the week we've chosen to say, these are the days God walked before us. Now let's walk with Him, in Him, always. Amen? Come on, church, it's open. Come on, right now, it's open. Come on. Come on, come on.